is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice in it.
I love doing that. So this last week, I still am captured with the Olympics. Again, when the opening ceremony, Cindy's like, you want to watch the Olympics? I don't care. And immediately after that, on maybe Saturday or Sunday, I started watching, and I'm just captivated by watching the Olympics. I don't know why. Some of the things are not fascinating, but I do find it interesting to watch all the different things that they go through. The victories, the losses, the disqualifications, the upsets, the, what's the thing where they say, oh, I lost, but we want to appeal. The appeals that go on to the different things for both a better score and an appeal that they were interfered in their lane in the track. Those different things went on. There was a Chinese swimmer that won a medal and she didn't even know it. She said, well, I just did my best, and if I didn't win, that's okay. I did my best. They said, you won a medal? She's like, what? I won? I did? How fantastic would that be? You're a winner and didn't even know it. So she got a medal. Then we had the American bicyclist that, after a wipeout in front of her, was leading for quite a while. And then about 100 yards in, here came the three people past her, and she didn't medal. But she said, I didn't leave anything on the table, and I gave it my all, and I was proud to represent my country. And I thought, man, that's the attitude we all need. I may not have come in here in first, but I gave it my all, I did my best, and I was proud to represent my country. And I'm proud to represent my Christ, my Savior, my Lord. The Bible says we are Christ ambassadors, amen? I'm going to be getting to that in just a little bit, and we'll talk about that. Then the runner from Great Britain, he's in the middle of the pack, he's about five or six back, and he gets tripped up and he falls. And he got up immediately and kept running, and he won. Run by a decent distance. When we fall and stumble, I just think, man, this is God's plan for us to watch that and learn lessons out of this. When we fall, it wasn't that he got up and just finished. He got up immediately. Remember, they left their nets immediately when called by Jesus. He got up immediately, finished the race, and won it by a good distance. And then there was a runner that was devastated with his false start. And they said, why would you try and outstart a gun? You know, false start. He was disqualified from that. 4 years he's been training for this event. Runners, take your mark. And he took off before the gun. Disqualified. Not a restart. He was disqualified. And the announcer said, it's a hard, hard heart that doesn't have some sympathy for the Frenchman there. Well, that's our kickoff for today's message. Who comforts the hurting is today's message. Who comforts the hurting? It's a hard, hard heart that doesn't have some sympathy for the Frenchman there. You know, when Job was going through the things he was going through, and if you want to get prepared, by the way, go ahead and turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. And as you're turning there, Job, he was afflicted by these many things, and Satan was challenging him. And God gave Satan different parameters and said, okay, you can do everything, but you can't take his life. Well, he all but took his life. And you remember what he said to his friends after they were so comforting to him? Miserable comforters you all, he said to them. My Lord, you got a pack of friends. Your body is afflicted with all these things. Your family has died. Your possessions were burned and destroyed. And all these different things happen. And he's looking to his friends for comfort. Now, adults, it's important that we remember this. Young people. Hang on, they're yawning, stretching, and doing some various things. Let's make sure I have their attention. Young people over here. Old people are trying to get connected in that group. But young people mostly over here. It is important with your young friends that you are comforters to them. In a godly manner, of course. Because Job turned to his friends and they weren't there for him. They said all these different things that he could say and should say to God. And he said, miserable comforters are you all. You've brought me nothing. In his affliction, they weren't supportive at all. How would you respond to him, to Job, as he was going through that, if you were one of his friends? You'll be okay, Job. God will get you through it. And that's the easy thing to say, by the way. Oh, God will get you through that and just keep on walking. We don't truly slow down for the care and the comfort of them. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. You will be healed if you had enough faith. Uh-oh, got to be careful of that one. You never would have had this trouble if your faith was stronger. Well, if there was a God, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen to you. Therefore, there must not be a God. And there's all these different things that our friends may say that we could say to other people. Well, let's see how Paul covers this. As he's talking to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's addressing the church at Corinth that's gone through some different troubles. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Well, that's a pretty strong opening in itself. But he says, "Father or God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." That's a whole lot of stuff and big fancy words to say, man, he's there to comfort them. And Paul says, thanks to God. Thanks be to God, he says, the God of all comfort. And I want us just to slow down. That's real easy to read that and go past it. He's the God of all comfort. Okay, that's great. He's the God of peace also. He's the God of joy also. But that same God that is the God of all comfort is the God of peace in our times of trouble. Only he can bring peace as we go through certain things in our lives, certain issues in our lives. He is also the God that gives us joy in times of sorrow. Because others can't necessarily bring us joy, but God can bring us joy that only he understands that he can bring inside of us in times of sorrow. Many of you in your loss have been comforted, but nothing and nobody comforts you like the comfort that God gives and the Holy Spirit gives us. People can bring us comfort, but only God brings that true comfort and that true peace. And the same is true with rest. God gives us rest in times of weariness. It's a rest that sleep is not going to give us. It's a rest that only comes through knowing him and through a relationship with him. And that same God, the God of all comfort, comforts us in times of tribulation, it says. Paul says he comforts us. And so what? So we should be able to comfort those who are in trouble around us. Because he comforts us, we also should be able to comfort those around us. But how? How do we do those things? And he says right here, he says, with the same comfort God showed us. Think about forgiveness. It's the same thing. We forgive others with the same forgiveness that God gave us. I told you the story a couple weeks ago about that little speeding ticket I got. Okay? I did not get the full penalty of the law. Speeding in the work zone. But I did get a lesser penalty, speeding. Less than 10 miles doesn't go on my record. All those kind things that officer did not have to do. And God is the same way. I could give you the full brunt of judgment, the full judgment you deserve. But I'm going to show you some grace and mercy. And just like he showed us comfort, we should show others comfort that he's given us and provided us. Just like he has forgiven us, we also should be able to forgive others with that same forgiveness. I want to clarify something, because we may have been going through something. Job waited for comfort and his friends did not offer it. Some of us may have been offered comfort, but we did not receive it. There's a difference. And I want to make sure we understand that, because we may think, well, I've gone through something and I don't feel like anyone was there to comfort me. And it could be because we just didn't receive what they have, or we didn't recognize the comfort they were offering. And it could be that no one offered you comfort. I don't know. I'm just saying, I want to be very careful to clarify that. As Job sat and waited for comfort, it didn't come. But for others, it may have come and you didn't recognize it, or you simply did not receive it. We want to make sure that we're not denying the comfort that God offers us. I was telling Eric a little earlier about our King's Kids on Wednesday night. What a fascinating night that turned out to be. Many extra kids. And as we did a little lesson, we shared some tickets. Gave out a couple tickets. And I gave out tickets to everyone except one young lady. I said, all right. Everyone's got tickets, right? And I knew I didn't give the young lady tickets. And everyone said, yeah. Well, they got their tickets, but they didn't check to see if everyone else got theirs. And finally someone said, well, so-and-so doesn't have tickets. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. You see, right now I'm playing God, and I'm answering prayers. And the answered prayer to all of them was yes, but I'm sorry for you, it's no. Now, much to my surprise, the young lady said, that's okay. That was a blessing in itself to have that young lady there that night. And she said, that's okay. And the other said, well, we got two tickets, this is great. They're all excited. Got two tickets, this is fine. You didn't get any. You know, that type of thing. So as we went around to the lesson later, we were talking about prayer. And I said, it's real easy to be upset when God tells us no. And we can get up and walk right out that door and say, well, God wouldn't let me go through this. I know that. It's real easy to say, God answered their prayer. Why didn't God answer mine? He must not hear me. We've probably all been there where God said no. The answer is no to your prayer. Whether it be a healing or a job or an opportunity or a marriage or whatever it is. Children maybe, parents. And God said no. And the young lady said, my aunt taught me that God gives us everything we need. So I'm not worried about it. And I thought, amen, thank you. So about 10 minutes later, I said, scoot over a little bit and sit up. Don't lean on the table because there's going to be some racket here in a minute. And I went on with the lesson, and then I just pounded the table with this mighty smack. Everyone was startled. I said, oh, thank you. Today is the day. And I peeled off 6 tickets and gave them to the young lady. I said, God has answered your prayer today. He has blessed you today. See, the answer was no there or no in that situation. But today, the answer is yes for this situation, and he has blessed you. And immediately came the cries. That's not fair. I only got 2 tickets. I said, whoa, wait a minute. When God blessed you with 2 tickets, you were fine with that. But now all of a sudden, somebody has more. And it's not fair. I said, well, here, give me your 2 tickets. No, I'll keep them. And we can play that sometimes as we're looking for comfort. I need comfort, God. I need you to answer this. And God says, no. And he knows the timing for his prayers and his answers. No to this, no to this. I will answer yes to this because I think you're ready for that. I'm going to answer yes to this. I know what you're going to do with it. You're going to mess it up, but later on I'll correct you. And God knows these things. He knows what we're going to do with this stuff. So 6 tickets later, and a blessing for someone, and immediately we said, well, that's not fair. Why didn't I get that? You remember in God's word, he says, I dole out my gifts to you all differently. And each one has different gifts. And his blessings are the same way. I've blessed you with this, I've blessed you with this, I've blessed you with this. And each one is different. But I'm the God that can comfort you. Our hope in verse 7 says, and our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. When he consoles us. And he uses this word 5 or 6 times in those verses there. That comfort and that consolation that he provides and God provides is good. So the question is simple. It says, who comforts? Who comforts? Well, God comforts, but we also should be comforters to those in need. And so many times we can go past those people. But God calls us to comfort them. When we do the foot washing before Easter, the Monday Thursday service, when we do foot washing here, it's merely to say this is an example that Jesus Christ set up for us to follow, to serve others. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we do that as an example that Jesus Christ set up before he was crucified. Take, eat, take, drink. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. They're examples. And here's another example that Paul says, God has shown us comfort, therefore we should comfort others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've talked about that a lot. Anybody in here a new creation? Or did we become new creations that reverted back to our old ways? Well, he answers that also. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. They're to be gone. How and why? He says, behold, I make all things new. I remember reading that scripture at Cliff Williams' funeral just over 6 years ago last week, or a couple days ago. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And he goes on to say, we are ambassadors of Christ. Mr. and Mrs. Ambassador, how did we do last week? Because I had a few struggles as an ambassador of Christ. Now, we don't want to be accused of robbing the grave. And I don't mean to be morbid, but the old things have passed away. They should be buried. We should not go dig them up and go back to that same old burial site trying to retrieve the old ways and the old things. And it's easy and it's comfortable. He does not want us to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm just reading generally right now, he says, forgive the offender. In chapter 2, verse 12, he says, furthermore, when I come to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. And he goes on in verse 15 and he says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Listen carefully. We are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the aroma of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We must triumph in Jesus Christ. He is our comforter. He helps us. He leads us. And again, as I said in chapter 5, we are ambassadors of Christ. If anyone is in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. We are to comfort those. We are to comfort those. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. That's why, Anna, we rejoice with you. Those going to school, we've prayed over you. Teachers, we have prayed over you. And when you have a loss in your family and in your life, we mourn with you and we comfort you. Because God is the ultimate comforter. He has showed us how, and we do it through his knowledge. And we also are called to support. Who comforts the hurting people? Don't leave it up to God. Don't leave it to Him alone to do that. You see, we are called to comfort. When we look at things like the Olympics, and again, I just am fascinated by so many things and the closeness of some of the events, not to mention the physical ability of some of those people, but the closeness of those events, the people finishing, getting a gold medal for the first time, or representing their country for the first time in a medal event. The lady runner the other day that crossed the finish line, and it was here and right here, she broke down and cried. Just cries of joy. We do that with them. I found myself embarrassed, to say the least, as I shouted out for our country or for other countries, for winners and great victories. Sitting on the sofa in my own living room. Yes! Okay, look at my wife who's probably laughing at me. My son's in the other room going, oh Lord, yeah, okay, I'm getting some nods. Yeah, a little embarrassing. But I found myself caught up in that, sharing in their victories. And likewise, sharing in their heartache. When the young man broke down on the track where he had the false start. It's a hard, hard heart that isn't moved by that. And I was moved by that. So close. And by a fraction of a second, all that work was for nothing. And God tells us, when we do things in our life, split second decision, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, that can really foul out our lives. I was talking to our young people the other day and said, there's people that were running banks, heads of banks, large banks. And through a split second wrong decision, ended up losing their job, their family, their home, their car, their future, basically their existence. And took heads of banks, multiple banks, and became homeless because of a poor split second decision. We need to make sure that we focus on God. We need to be sure that we are preparing our fields for the rain, for the harvest. And one poor decision can ruin that harvest that God has planned for us. And we can scratch and claw our way back up to the top. We can do that. But what a bunch of extra work. God wants us to be right from the get-go. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for being our comforter. We thank You so much for giving us the example. We thank You as Paul went to the church and called You God of all comfort. Lord, there's times when we need to be firm, but we do those things in a spirit of love and gentleness. We're called to comfort one another. We're called to be light and salt to those people we come in contact with. And God, being a comforter isn't just for those people that we know. The best example of being an ambassador of Christ is doing those for people we don't know. God, help prepare our hearts, our fields, if You will, for the rain and the harvest. Help make us different today to grow in Your Word, Your knowledge, Your wisdom. To have a burning in our heart as the disciples had when they heard Jesus speak after His crucifixion. Where they said, our heart's not burning when we heard Him speak. Help create a desire in our hearts to read Your Word, study Your Word, and to hear Your Word. Help us to live out Your Word by being examples of comforters, being ambassadors of Christ, having the fragrance of Christ. for those we come in contact with. Lord, where we need to grow, help us not remain the same. As we read today also, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Lord, help us to put down those old things so that we can be new, that we can be fresh. I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.